Running ships up and down the Oregon coast used to be a really dangerous thing to do. And in the days before there was any way of getting in touch with anybody else, like pre-wireless, there were frequently ships that would simply sail out into the ocean and disappear. Sometimes they'd drift into shore upside down, sometimes they wouldn't. No one would ever know what happened. No one would survive. This is a story about one of those. There was a little bit of a twist on it, though, in that there was a keg of gold in the ship, and it was way off course. And yes, the gold was gone. I'm Finn J.D. John, and you're listening to me reading you an archive column from the weekly newspaper column I write, Offbeat Oregon History. I do this every weekday morning. Of course, if you've subscribed to the podcast, you already know that. And if you aren't subscribed and want more information about it, it is free, of course. Stay tuned or see offbeatoregon.com. So today's column was originally published on December 4th, 2011, under the headline, Missing Gold Suggests Something Sinister in Shipwreck Mystery. Here we go. In October of 1875, a brand new schooner sailed out of San Francisco Bay on her way to her home port of Coos Bay. 25 passengers and crew were on board. Neither people nor ship was ever heard from again until a month later when the lifeless upside-down hull of the ship drifted ashore. And the persistent unanswered question is, did somebody do this on purpose? The sailing ship Sunshine was a 325-ton, three-masted schooner, a relatively big ship for that age. She was built at a cost of $32,000 by Holden & Company Shipyard in Coos Bay, then called Marshfield, in September of 1875. Her owners wasted no time putting her to work. She was beating out to sea on her maiden voyage, bound for San Francisco with a load of lumber. When the Sunshine left port for the first time, she was skippered by one George Bennett, an experienced captain who was also part owner of the ship. His officers included two other highly respected, very competent mariners. Upon arrival at San Francisco, the new ship unloaded its lumber and took on cargo for the return trip, some machinery, a small cohort of passengers. Oh, and $10,000 in gold. $10,875 in gold. That's a lot of money, actually. It's the passengers and the gold that make this story especially interesting. For what happened after the Sunshine sailed through the Golden Gate and out into the wide Pacific is a complete mystery. No one survived to tell about it, as far as we know. For over a month, nothing was heard from the new schooner. Then she was spotted, floating bottom side up off Cape Disappointment on the north side of the Columbia River, Washington State. Well, it was Washington Territory at the time. After a while, the wreck washed ashore on Peacock Spit. An upside-down schooner isn't easy to live on, so it wasn't surprising that there were no survivors on board. What was more surprising, though, was the absence of the $10,000 in gold. Then, as now, this was hard to explain. Ships don't capsize gradually. It's all done in an instant, and survivors are left with a barnacle-covered hulk with waves breaking over it and no way to get in or out. Something like that doesn't just happen on a calm day, on which there's plenty of time to think about things like 40-pound kegs of gold that are scheduled to be delivered to somebody else. So if the ship met its end in heavy weather, it's probably safe to assume that nobody went and fetched the gold as the vessel was being abandoned. But if that's the case, how did the gold end up missing? Kegs of gold do not get left lying around on deck where they can fall off into the sea in the event of capsize. They're kept below decks in secure and secret locations. Closed rooms, locked cabinets, places like that. Places that, when turned upside down, don't usually release their contents into the ocean. By itself, the curious absence would be enough to raise an eyebrow or two. Although it certainly isn't beyond reason that perhaps the crew, while abandoning the ship, someone might have actually gone and fetched that keg of gold. But what's really puzzling about the Sunshine is the place in which it was found. Remember, the ship left San Francisco bound for Coos Bay, so what was it doing washing ashore on the south coast of Washington State? Wind and currents could hardly have carried it 200 miles north and 0 miles east in a few weeks, not in Oregon where the wind comes always out of the southwest in the winter, and certainly not in November. What was the Sunshine doing puttering around Tillamook and Astoria? Stories started circulating almost at once. The least believable of these involved a rumored landing north of Coos Bay during which the ship's officers allegedly buried the keg of gold and set off northward afterward. Perhaps they were planning on taking the ship far away, scuttling it, rowing ashore, and claiming to have just survived a shipwreck, then slipping back to the beach and digging their booty up later. Perhaps they were making for Canada. Perhaps they were being abducted by space aliens. Who knows? This theory, though, inspired a number of people to go out treasure hunting in the sands north of Coos Bay. It likely won't surprise you to learn that nothing was ever found there. The other story is just as speculative, but it's less specific. The idea is that a group of the passengers, knowing the ship carried a cargo of gold, hijacked the ship and sailed beyond Coos Bay to some unknown location on the north coast of Oregon. There, they loaded the booty in a lifeboat, killed everybody else aboard ship, rowed ashore in the middle of the night with the loot. Well, okay, it fits the evidence, but there's so little evidence, almost anything would fit it. Sea monsters, pirates from Mexico, alien abduction, you name it. The bottom line is we have no idea what happened to the people on board, and we have no idea what happened to the gold. There's a lot we don't know about the demise of the Sunshine. And there's certainly not enough evidence to declare definitively that foul play was involved. But it sure can't be ruled out. That's it for today. You've been listening to an archive column from the Offbeat Oregon History newspaper column. If you'd like more, there are a couple dozen other of these audio columns on iTunes, and they'll pop right up if you do a search for Oregon under podcasts in the iTunes store. While you're there, do me a favor, though. Write a quick review of the podcast. Little podcasts like this get noticed by getting reviewed by listeners. There are also hundreds of columns in text and pictures form going back to 2008 on our website at offbeatoregon.com, which is also where you'll find the citations for this story. On the website, you can also subscribe to this podcast or its text equivalent so that they will be sent and delivered automatically to your smartphone via RSS. You'll also find links so that you can join the conversation on the Oregon Offbeat Oregon Facebook page and Twitter feed. All these columns are covered under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license. Details, offbeatoregon.com/cc. And if you're ever up in Corvallis, drop me a line. I love geeking out with fellow history buffs, especially over good coffee or Irish stout. I'm at finn@offbeatoregon.com, or if you do Twitter, @offbeatoregon. One more thing. My book's coming out June 5th, and if you like this column, chances are pretty good that you're going to like the book. It's called Wicked Portland, The Wild and Lusty Underworld of a Frontier Seaport Town, and you should totally check it out. The webpage is up. It's at wicked-portland.com, and your local library will probably have a copy eventually. So if you do check it out, let me know what you think. And that's all I've got for you for today. So thanks for listening, and have a great day.